traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Welcome, equestrians. This is Scott Miller coming to you live from Delray Beach, Florida, on the International Equine Report. We got a lot of good things to talk to you about today. We got a call-in number that you can call, 323-744-4831, and we'll talk Breeders' Cup in Belmont. So just give us a call whenever you get a chance, you know, to see what else is going on. Got a lot of things going on in the horse world today. Pretty much this show is going to be focused on the thoroughbred industry because the Breeders' Cup will be coming up here, you know, this fall. We got the Belmont coming up. And a lot of things that we've been talking about over the year, you know, is kind of leading up to this. One of the things that we talked about was how they get there, the 2023 Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown. And it was interesting to see how everybody got to where they were going this year on the Triple Crown. A lot of the races this year eliminated probably 80% of the horses, 90% of the horses that were running. It was interesting to see how they kind of fell by the wayside. A lot of the races out west only had five, six, seven horses in fields and kind of had a light road to go, but eventually it proved to knock them out of, you know, a lot of the major races coming up. Of course, we always have a 20-horse field for the Derby, and of those 20 horses left in from the Derby, a handful went on to the Preakness. And then, you know, even fewer have gone on to the Belmont. And we really don't know how big the Belmont field's going to be coming up on the 11th, a week from this Saturday. It's going to be kind of light, I would say. You might see a 5, 6, 7 horse field at the most in there. We have Todd Pletcher's got a couple of horses that he's pointing for the Derby. Modonigal is one of them, and the other one is Nest. And it's going to be an interesting, she's a filly, to see, you know, how that goes, you know, with that. You know, it's a whole different ball game when you're talking about the Belmont. You're looking at a mile and a half. You're looking at different training. You know, it's easy to put speed into a horse, but it's hard to put distance into a horse. So, you know, you didn't see those at, around on the Preakness, and that, I think that was because of, you know, that you're trying to convert them over to getting a mile and a half for the Belmont on June 11th. And so that's going to be interesting to see what happens. And like I said, it's going to be a small field, very, very small field. Most of the horses that will be in there have run in the Derby. You know, you might have three or four, you know, of the seven, five, six, seven that will be in there. And also, it's a whole different thing. And it's like we were saying, how you get there. You know, trainers always constantly have to be putting up different, you know, different training methods, different ways to get there. And there's no one right way to do it. And because if there were, we'd all be winning races, you know, right and left. And so long story short is that we'll see Real Strike for the win the Derby. He'll be there. He put in his last work for the Derby this week, or for the Belmont this week, and he's at Belmont, and we'll see how he adjusts to the weather, the conditions, you know, the track. There's a lot he's going to have to adjust to, and he's going to really be out of his zone, you might say, when you start talking about Belmont, different track, different conditions, weather conditions, bigger track, longer stretch. There's just so many things there that he's going to have to contend with. The rider is a good rider. He'll be able to adapt. You know, it's where the horse will be able to adapt, you know, to that. Belmont's a whole different ballgame. It's a whole different animal. It'll be a good crowd there, you know, on the 11th. A good day of racing there for all the fans to go see. It's just, it's great. You know, it's kind of ended up, you know, it ends up the Triple Crown. And unfortunately this year, there was not a lot of hoopla going into the Triple Crown. Not a lot at all. And that's what was interesting to see, you know, you build up for the Derby, and then you have, all of a sudden you have a long shot, the longest shot on the board, longest shot, you know, I think in history, maybe second longest shot, comes up and wins, and the hoopla's there. And then you go into the Preakness, and not a lot of the horses that were in the Derby go to the Preakness. They kind of held out. And now, you know, it's the Belmont. And so the hoopla, the aura of the excitement of the Belmont is still there, but it's not like it is when you got a, you know, potential Triple Crown winner. The news and media just kind of dropped off of Real Strike as soon as he, you know, won the Derby. And unfortunately, that does happen because, you know, was he a one-start wonder? You know, is the question everybody asks. What can he do now next? So the hype will be building in Elmont this week. We'll see what happens. We'll see what the post will position draw will be like next week. And this really makes a big difference in the Belmont. And I've argued and talked myself blue in the face to people over the years about why I think it is a big difference in the post position at Belmont. 99.9% of the people you talk to say the Belmont post position is no problem. That's what everybody says. Said it's no problem because it's a mile and a half. It gives you time to get adjusted. There's a lot of things that it gives you time to do. But this is my opinion. My opinion is that when you break from the gate at Belmont, you know, you've got a mile and a half to get yourself to the finish line. All kinds of scenarios can pop up in front of you. But the thing that gets me is the horses like Real Strike, for example. When he hears that gate open and sees the horses go, he's going to get involved. The adrenaline starts pumping. He starts running. He starts chasing. Can they settle him in? Can they get him off the lead? I don't think they can. I think this horse is a horse that's going to be in the hunt. I think he's going to go out front, and he's going to run as far as he can, as fast as he can, for as long as he can. It's my own opinion. I think that's what's going to happen with him. He's going to be a hard horse to rate in the Belmont. Very difficult, especially if he gets up there and he hooks anybody. And let's say, for example, we got a 7-horse field, and he gets the 3-hole or the 4-hole. Got horses inside of him, horses outside him. They break, they go to the lead. He's going to go with them. So it's going to be an interesting, you know, scenario to see, you know, how he handles that. It's going to be tough. You know, I think a lot of the riders know that, and it puts a good position for Nest and McGonigal. They're closers. They are closers, and they'll come running down that, you know, stretch with authority. There's two or three other horses that could be in there, and if they are, it's going to make a difference. But it's all in the break. It's all in the break. You got to have a good jock, and you got to be able to rate a horse. So we're going to see what happens with that and everything. So Belmont Week's going along. Real Strike's already at Belmont. He's kind of settling in, seeing what's going on. All the other horses, you know, are there to see what's going on. And a lot of them are home-based out of there. So, you know, it's going to be good for them. But, and you know, it'll be a good Belmont. The hoopla that'll be there, I think, will come up sometime next week, Wednesday or Thursday of next week. You know, it'll get in. And it's in true fashion. The New York people will not disappoint. It'll be a great day of racing. A lot of things to do there. They got the Elmont has the Belmont Parade is going to be back up this year. So that'll be good. They get a lot of floats and they get a lot of people and they get a lot of things to that. So that'll be good. So that's one of the things that we're looking forward to. NYRA does a great job with everything they do when it comes to racing, either at Aqueduct, Belmont, you know, or Saratoga. And so that's going to be interesting. So we're literally at the end of the Triple Crown. It was a great year. A lot of good things happened this year. The tracks all, like at the Arkansas Derby, Louisiana Derby, Santa Anita. You know, they had all the good races, big races, all the prep races that led up to the Derby and brought people, you know, into the track. So the attendance was up, purse money was good. So everybody, you know, just really kind of enjoyed everything they were doing. So that was it. That's how they get there, the 2022 Kentucky Derby and Triple Crown. It's almost all over with another 10 days, and you know, it's going to be done, you know, with and everything. So now that leads us back to some other things that we're doing now. We're looking at the Breeders' Cup. The Breeders' Cup is going to be wicked this year. We've got horses coming from all over the world that will be at the Breeders' Cup. It's going to be at Keeneland this year, which is really good. They've hosted it before, so they know what it's all about. They know how to get it there. So that we're excited about that, and see what's going to happen with it, and then kind of go from there. But one of the things that they've started now is the Breeders' Cup has a new thing. Well, it's not new. They've been doing it, you know, for a while. But it's called Win and You're In Schedule. It's about the Breeders' Cup Challenge, Win and You're In Series. The Breeders' Cup has kind of made things more, trying to entice more horses from international and domestic here to get into the Breeders' Cup. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, how they do it. They started this challenge, or this series, as they say. The 2022 Breeders' Cup Challenge Series is a true win and you're in program. With races selected worldwide in every championship division, owning a Breeders' Cup nominated runner is more important than ever now. It's in 2022, any nominated horse that wins a challenge race will receive an automatic starting position in the corresponding championship race, pre-entry and entry fees paid, a nominator award of $10,000 to the person nominating the foal or the horse. So right then and there, you're looking at making money already from nominating the horse into the Breeders' Cup. You're looking at getting pre-entry and entry fees paid, and that says a lot. You know, that says a lot to the owners and breeders. It takes a little bit of the cost off of them that they can put into the training, you know, of their horses. All championship starters will travel award if based outside of Kentucky. So meaning they're going to get a travel stipend to come in into Keeneland if they're outside of Lexington or outside of Kentucky. It's a $10,000 for an American and $40,000 for international. So in other words, if you're, let's say, in Florida and you got a horse that you're winning, you're in, or, you know, you get in the Breeders' Cup, you're going to get a $10,000 check from the Breeders' Cup to help offset those expenses bringing you into, you know, into the Breeders' Cup Challenge or at Keeneland, and $40,000 for any horse from an international winning you're in. So, you know, now it's going to be hard for breeders and owners not to go to the Breeders' Cup. You know, that's going to be really great, you know, boost for the BC runners. Breeders' Cup World Championship offers 14 championship divisions and $31 million in purses and awards for each year combined with the challenge benefits makes over $36 million in purses and awards available for the Breeders' Cup nominated horses each year. $36 million. It's a lot of money to be, you know, having dangling in front of you to get out there. So, you know, and you're looking at 14 divisions, dividing $36 million up between 14 divisions, which is really good. It says, when in your end program rules, all 2000, in 22 Breeders' Cup Win and Your In Challenge Series races will be run without Lasix. Very, very key. And another thing that we were talking about on how you get there is the decisions you and the trainer and the owner and the vet has to make. So in other words, if you're going to run a horse without Lasix, you've got to go back to old school. You've got to take the training You've got to put in long days and long weeks and long months. You got to think about the race that you're going to run them in, prior to the Breeders' Cup. You got to think about all these things. You got to really protect the horse's lungs and the horse itself. And, a lot of times it is very difficult to do without Lasix. But now you got to go back to the old school method. You can't hurry up and get it done. And that's one of the things that I like about the no Lasix rules. You're getting a true 100% horse, that's drug free. So, that's one thing that I like to see, with all these horses. All graded stakes points for the purpose of the selection committee, into Breeders' Cup races will only be awarded for graded races that are contested, medication-free, including prohibiting Lasix within 24 hours of the race. So in other words, they'll go back and look at your horse's race record, see if he did run on Lasix or if he didn't, and if he did, the 24-hour rule, prior to the race and then afterwards. So there's going to be a lot of people trying to skirt around that and run on Lasix right up until the Breeders' Cup. And then, hopefully, you can get through without your horse bleeding. So that's going to be something interesting to see. Because basically what the Breeders' Cup is doing is we're going to get a medication-free racing, here for the horses. And that's one way that they can do it. The rules should govern the winning and your end program in connection with running of the challenge races and the participation of challenge race winners in the championships. All benefits, rewards earned from the winning Breeders' Cup Challenge race are only awarded to Breeders' Cup nominated horses and are in compliance with the BCL rules and regulations. They're all on the same page, but maybe, like in a different series from the challenge and into the things that we're looking at here. The winning you're in and the challenge series. Challenge series, I really like it. It's going to be something that's going good this year, I think. So, the Breeders' Cup is trying to do everything to get people to, race, in the Breeders' Cup, make that journey from all over the world trying to get here is what they're trying to do. And so it's going to be, a good thing to see. Now, as far as Breeders' Cup Day is concerned, you need to start planning it now. How to get there in Lexington? You got quite a few different ways to go, as we all know. If you want to fly into Lexington, to Cincinnati or to Louisville, you can fly into Lexington and Bluegrass Airport. It's 1.6 miles from Keeneland. It's at 4000 Terminal Drive, Lexington, Kentucky. And you can call 859-425-3100 to get any information about flying into Bluegrass Field. There. Then we have Louisville International Airport. It's 70.7 miles from Keeneland. It's at 600 Terminal Drive, Louisville, Kentucky. You can call 502-367-4636. Now, that's in Louisville, Kentucky, and it's 70 miles away. And to be honest with you, that might be a good place to get your hotel at. It's not a bad drive. It takes you a little over an hour to get from downtown Louisville to Keeneland Racetrack. And it's a nice little drive. A lot of good restaurants along the way. Gives you time to relax, on your way back to your hotel. And the traffic might not be as bad in Lexington on Breeders' Cup Day. I mean, in Louisville on Breeders' Cup Day as it would be in Lexington. But that's up to you. And then you got to look at the Cincinnati International Airport. It's 84 miles from Keeneland. It's on 2939 Terminal Drive at Hebron, Kentucky, 859-767-3151. And the interesting part about that is it's actually in Kentucky. It's across the river in Kentucky, and it's just a straight interstate drive, right up to Lexington. It's really easy to get to. So that's one thing that we look at, whenever you're traveling somewhere. You got to get all these things pre-plan. You just can't wing it on the day of the races. You know, you got to schedule it out, pre-plan it out, like we've talked all year long about running a barn or, you know, training or doing whatever you're doing. You got to have a schedule. You got to have a plan. And things like this, you can plan many days in advance, months in advance, you know, to get there. You know, Keeneland Race Track is located in Lexington, Kentucky. It's 6.4 miles east of downtown Lexington. The racetrack property is located just off of Sales Road. Please note that parking at Keeneland will be limited to those with official prepaid parking credentials. Just remember now, you'll have to contact the Breeders' Cup at www.breederscup.com to find out about, you know, those prepaid passes. Or you can actually call, you know, Keeneland itself to find out, you know, what they have there. Or go to www.keeneland.com, and they'll tell you about the prepaid parking credentials. It says, without official parking credentials, if you don't have them, you'll be turned away at the gate and directed to a park and ride location. Additional parking information will be released soon. The physical address is for GPS is 4201 Versailles Road, Lexington, Kentucky, 40510. And you just go to there, and that'll tell you how to get, you know, your GPS there. And if you go to our website, you can go down and on our website where we have, you know, information on how to get anywhere you want to go, you know, in the horse business or anywhere. You can go to our website, and you can, you know, check that out and see what all we have there and how to get there. And on our website, we're going to be having more and more information. We're adding two new sections to the website today. One is strictly for Breeders' Cup information in the Breeders' Cup website. You just make one click, and that'll take you to wherever you need to answer any question that you need to know. And that's presented by the Breeders' Cup racing that we'll be doing here. And then we'll go to the Breeders' Cup win and you're in and the challenge races. You click on it there and you will be able to see the Breeders' Cup win and you're in and challenge races that we have that will be live races every week. And so we'll go get ready to go over those here in just a few minutes on those races leading up to the Breeders' Cup. We'll get ready to go over those here in just a minute. And so that's going to be interesting. And again, you know, like we said, you go to intb.org and that you don't have to go anywhere else after that. You know, you'll be able to go to MapQuest and get all your directions from anywhere in the world where you're at on how to get to Lexington. And it has hotels on kayak, you name it. We have it right on our website. So all you got to do is click on to the appropriate site, you know, put Lexington, Kentucky, and it will direct you right how to get there with hotels, gas, lodging, restaurants, weather conditions on our Weather Channel site there. So, you know, you don't have to leave our website, and you can get everything done. We even have banking on there. Bank of America is a great company to be banking with. And, you know, you can click on there and you can find out where an ATM is or, you know, where you can go to physically go to the bank in case you win a lot of money and need to deposit it. You know, so we're trying to take care of everybody on everything. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what happens, you know, with the Breeders' Cup. Now, as far as the races are concerned that we were talking about, the win and your end races. We had our first one actually this past May 30th. It was the Win and You're In. It was from Santa Anita Park. It was called the Shoemaker Mile Stakes. It was a grade one for 3-year-olds and upward. A mile on the turf course, which is a nice turf course there. The purse was $500,000 guaranteed. So, you know, we're sitting there looking at a nice race, $300,000 to the winner, $100,000 to second, $60,000 to third. So, you know, it's just far enough out, you know, from the Breeders' Cup that you can get your horse on a regular routine and schedule. And so that's what we're talking about now. And we're going to talk about a lot more races here over the next few months. And today we're going to give you a guideline of, you know, when they're coming up and how to watch them on here. It was a good race. It was a gelding that won the race, called Count Again with Jose Ortiz, or Iran Ortiz in irons. He was working at Keeneland, and they flew him back out to Santa Anita to run into the race. It was a really good race. Philip D'Amato won the race. He was really excited about it. He broke a step slow, trailed too wide into the clubhouse turn. Then he moved up the rail, advanced between the rivals through the last turn, took aim on the two wide in the stretch, and then he ran off with the race. I would say he ran off with it. You know, he went by 3.5 lengths. And that was Count Again. So that's our first win, and you're in for the 2022 Breeders' Cup 1 mile turf at Lexington. That was the Shoemaker Mile that they had. And so from this point on, the things that we'll be talking about, and we'll have on every week. Every week we will have this on, no matter what day, no matter what track, no matter what country you're from, you'll be able to see the When and Your End races live on intv.org that we have here. Breeders' Cup announced May 24th in the 2022 Breeders' Cup Challenge Series When and Your End schedule in 82 races in 11 countries. 82 races in 11 countries between now and the 1st or the 5th of November. Whose runners will receive automatic qualifying positions and fees paid into the corresponding race in the 2022 Breeders' Cup World Championships. So, again, you know, we're talking about, you know, a preset schedule to qualify to get you in to the Breeders' Cup like they have with the Derby. And this is becoming a real big thing for the horse business. It started pretty much out with, you know, with the Derby, having a point system to get into the Derby, which everybody is liking. And they're finally adjusting to it. And let me tell you, it's a hard thing because trainers, no matter whether it's Breeders' Cup or, you know, whatever race you're in, the Derby, the Preakness, Belmont, you have to learn to point your horses towards it. It's something that you have to do that months and months in advance, you know, like you're doing for the Derby. What races are you going to run? You know, we got to qualify with points and go from there. And now it's the same thing with the Breeders' Cup. If you're going to the Breeders' Cup, you've got to pre-plan everything. And it's kind of tough to do because you just can't up and say, oh, I believe I'll run in the Breeders' Cup next week. Can't do that. Horses around the globe will be qualifying through the Win and Your End program for the 39th Breeders' Cup World Championships, consisting of 14 Grade 1 races and purses and awards totaling $31 million. This year's championship will be held November 4th and 5th at Keeneland in Lexington, Kentucky. The first United States Breeders' Cup Challenge Series races of the year will be May 30th with the Shoemaker Mile at Santa Anita. And that's what we just spoke about just now, the Shoemaker Mile. So we're off and running to qualify for the Breeders' Cup 2022. It started at Santa Anita Park. The Breeders' Cup Challenge Series now is in its 15th year. It will be hosted at many of the world's premier racetracks in the United States as well as international. Some of the countries that they'll be in are Argentina, Brazil, Canada, Chile, England, France, Ireland, Japan, Peru, South Africa, and the USA. So this goes to show you that there's going to be a wide variety of horses that'll be coming into this series. The 2022 series in the U.S. has been restructured into a regional qualifying program to balance out divisional competition across the country. In other words, what they're doing is they're trying to create races at different tracks in the Northeast, the Southeast, the Midwest, out West, Canada, you know, that type of thing. In 11 of the 14 divisions, there will be one Breeders' Cup Challenge Series per region, identified as East, Midwest, West, and West. Breeders' Cup Challenges qualifying races in the Juvenile Turf and Juvenile Filly division will be limited to two races. Breeders' Cup will promote these regional rivalries on the road to the World Championships, which is good, because now they're really going to be promoting the heck out of these things, getting a lot of television coverage, a lot of radio coverage, a lot of internet coverage. They'll be getting through here. The exception to the regional format will be the Longines Breeder Cup Classic Division, which will have six domestic races in this year series to complete the 2022 schedule. And we'll give that to you here in just a little bit. We're excited to introduce the Reconstruction Regional format for this year's Domestic Challenge Series, better to identify our top qualifiers from each part of the country as they move on to the World Championships, said Nora DeLagato, Breeders' Cup Executive Vice President and Chief of Racing Officer. And sorry about the name on that, but I'm wound up today. It's been an early, long day. The Win and You're In format has been in place since 2007 and provides a fast track to the World Championships through automatic selection into the free entry fees. All these races will be free of entry fees if you win, in which we just, we're going over this again. It says, we look forward to working again with our racetrack partners in conducting the Challenge Series races in the world this year. Last year, 40 Breeders' Cup Challenge winners competed in the World Championships at Del Mar, including five championship winners. Nixgo, $6 million. Longines Breeder Cup Turf Classic, $4 million. Longines Breeder Cup Turf, $1 million. $1 million Philly division in there. That's good money there. The Philly and Mare Sprint, Echo Zulu, $2 million in the Net Jets. Breeders' Cup Juvenile Phillies, Juvenile, and the Juvenile race also was Cornish. It was a great horse, and it was just unbelievable the way he ran. It was just unbelievable. As a part of the benefits to horsemen, the Breeders' Cup has allocated $5,180,000 in entry fees for this year's Challenge Series. The Breeders' Cup will pay the entry fees and guarantee a starting position in corresponding championship races for all Challenge Series race winners. If not already Breeders' Cup nominated, the Challenge winner must be nominated to the Breeders' Cup program by the championship's pre-entry deadline of October 24th to receive his rewards. In other words, what they're saying is if you didn't nominate your horse to the Breeders' Cup racing program and you decide that you've got a horse that you think that can win or do good in a Breeders' Cup race, they give you the last chance opportunity on October 24th to do a pre-entry deadline. So that will be interesting to see what happens. The Shoemaker Mile winner gained a free starting position in the $2 million FanDuel Breeders' Cup Mile on a turf and will be designated as the Breeders' Cup Challenge Western representative in the World Championships. The August 13th four-star Dave handicap at Saratoga Racecourse will be determined the Eastern Division. That's on August the 13th at Saratoga. And the October 8th Coolmore Turf Mile at Keeneland will determine the Midwest automatic qualifiers for the mile division on the turf. So in other words, you're saying that, you've got so many different areas that you could qualify from and that you could go to, and just, right there we're talking about looking at Santa Anita, the Western Division. We're looking at, Saratoga as the Eastern Division, and Midwest will be Keeneland. So, you know, these trainers can pull in from where they want to go. You know, north, south, east, west, you know, what have you, you know, with that. And then one of the things that, you know, kind of we don't think about here, we don't wait until, you know, we usually wait in the springtime and summertime. A lot of these tracks started here with the winning year end schedule, started back as late last year in December. And so we were looking at Argentina. They had their first winning year end race that was December 11th. South Africa was January 8th. They had the paddock stakes there. South Africa again had another race. It was called the Queen's Plate. That was on January 8th that they had. February 20th was the February stakes, the classic mile in Japan. We came back. We had May 1st. We had Argentina had another stakes race. May 15th, we had the Victoria Mile in Japan. So, you know, as you can see, they're kind of progressively getting towards the Breeders' Cup. Chile on May 29th, they had their race, the Shoemaker Mile on the 30th in June in Japan. We have a race in Japan, June 11th. We have New York, the Metropolitan Handicap. In New York, we have the Jaipur Stakes on June 11th also. Ogden Fitz in New York on June 11th. We have the Kingspan Stakes from the United Kingdom on June 14th. The Queen Anne Stakes, June 14th, United Kingdom. The Prince of Wales Stakes, United Kingdom, that's on June 15th. And so you can see as we're going down the list here, you know, how every week we're going to have, you know, a live race, you know, that you can watch on intv.org and see exactly what's going on and who's winning, and can even keep kind of a list of, you know, who's doing what. June 16th, the Norfolk Stakes, United Kingdom. We've got June 26th, we have the Grande Brasil live from Brazil. We have Japan, the Kennan Stakes from Japan on the turf. You know, so we're seeing a lot of these horses, you know, that are solid and well, you know, well versed in what they're going to be doing. From Peru, we have on June 26th, Philly and Mares, the Stephen Foster Stakes on July 2nd at Churchill Downs in Kentucky. The Princess Rooney Invitational Stakes on June 2nd or July 2nd at in Florida at Gulfstream Park. We have from the United Kingdom with the King George, and we have the Queen Elizabeth Stakes from the United Kingdom. We have the Haskell Stakes July 23rd in New Jersey that's coming up. So that's you know, right up the alley for a lot of the people that live here in the States. We have the Sussex Stakes in the United Kingdom, July 27th. The Bing Crosby was always a good race. That'll be in California, in Del Mar, this year. So that will be good. They have the Clemente Hirsch Stakes on August the 6th at Del Mar. Saratoga, we have on August the 6th, the Whitney Stakes. Then we have the Beverly D Stakes in Kentucky on August the 13th. That will be at Churchill Downs. We have the four-star Dave Handicap August 13th at Saratoga. We have August 14th, we have a mile race on the dirt in France. We have the International Stakes Classic in the United Kingdom. The Yorkshire Oaks in the United Kingdom on August 17th. We have the Nunthorpe Stakes from the United Kingdom. We have in France, we have a two-year-old race going a mile on the turf coming up on August 21st. We have the Pat O'Brien coming up from Del Mar on the dirt on August 27th. the Sword Dancer Stakes at Saratoga, the Ballerina Handicap at Saratoga on the 28th, Del Mar September 3rd, the Del Mar Handicap, Pacific Classic. You can produce a winner out of there in the Classic and the Breeders' Cup. That's always a real good race up there. We have the Gold Cup at Saratoga on September 3rd, the Firebolt Stakes at Saratoga on September 3rd. Del Mar has the Green Flash Handicap September 4th, the Turf Cup at Kentucky Downs. And we're going to talk about Kentucky Downs here in just a minute. The Turf, three-year-olds and up, we have the Turf Sprint at Kentucky Downs. We have in Ireland, we have the Matron Stakes in Ireland on September the 10th. September the 10th, we have the Irish Champion Stakes. We have the Champion Juvenile Stakes. We have the Flying Five Stakes, all from Ireland on the 10th and 11th so far. Then we have the Flying Five Stakes in Ireland. We have the Montglair Stakes in Ireland. Sorry about the pronunciation of that. That's on September 17th. And then we get back here to the States. We go to the Awesome Again Stakes October 1st. We're at Santa Anita. Belmont has the Pilgrim Stakes. Those dates are to be announced. The Frisette Stakes will be announced. Then we go back to France and Longchamp. We have a two-year-old stake race on the turf in France October 2nd. Again in France on October 2nd, the mile and a quarter for Fillies and Mares on the turf. October 2nd, the big race, the Arc de Triomphe, a mile and a half for three-year-olds and up on the turf. October 2nd, we have the Juvenile Turf in France. We have October 2nd. Again in France, we have the two-year-old Fillies Turf. Then October 7th, we have the Alcibiades at Keeneland, the Phoenix Stakes at Keeneland, the Busper Stakes in New York, the Kentucky Futurity, the Turf Mile, and the Kentucky Futurity starts off our how they get there in the Kentucky Derby 2023. So, you know, we're right down here to the end of it. And then we have Keeneland, the Thoroughbred Cub of America on October 8th, the American Farrell Stakes on October 8th at Santa Anita, the Chandelier Stakes at Santa Anita, October 8th, the Rodeo Drive Stakes at Santa Anita. And then at Belmont, we have the Futurity, which they haven't announced that yet, you know, what date those will be. So that pretty much gets us right down through up into, you know, to the Breeders' Cup. A lot of things there. No, probably a lot of you didn't get it. But the whole gist of that segment was to let you know exactly how you know, they're getting there to the Breeders' Cup this year. And it's a big difference, you know, now that they have this challenge, you know, winning your end in the Challenge Series. That's a big difference because it gives the trainers and owners a lot to think about, a lot of money to be made, not only winning a Breeders' Cup race, but a lot of money to be made on the road to get there. And it's not going to be an easy challenge. You're going to have to bring your best game to every one of the races that you run, you know, all over the world. And it's going to be interesting to see, you know, who travels and who doesn't. You know, a lot of times you get a course that, well, like say we'll take with the Shoemaker Mile, you know that you're going to the Breeders' Cup. So you do what you need to do to get your horse in there. You're already in. You got a post position. So opposed to have to run him, you know, in other big races, you know, big graded stake races to get there, you can kind of back off on your training a little bit and select and pick your spots accordingly. You know, you don't have to be to the wall training your horse and hoping that you get a win and you're in, you know, that type of thing. So that's good. And that's what a lot of these trainers will do. As soon as they get in, they just, you know, it's a sigh of relief. And here we go. We're going to the Breeders' Cup, and let's get him there and be as kind to him as we can and do the right things for him and get him there. So that's what I like about this series. And the other thing that I like about it is that all these races are scattered all over the world, all over the United States. And you literally can be living in the New York area or, you know, the Kentucky or Florida, California area, and you can literally, you know, go out and see one of these when and you're in stake races. And you'll be seeing the schedule up on IENTV.org where the dates are coming up and you know, when they're coming on, you know, when they're going to be raced and everything. And it's good to go to it. You can kind of plan out your day to the races, something to look forward to, you know, kind of like a NCAA basketball tournament, you know, that you're looking at. You know, you can go out and you kind of plan and see two or three of them and then even attend them in Lexington and everything. So that's what they're doing. But see, that's what the Breeders' Cup's doing for the thoroughbred industry. They're coming around. They're making it more advantageous for the owners and trainers to be running their horses and not, you know, not have to worry about making money, you know, just worry about winning. And they made it very, very good for the trainers and owners now. And so we're excited about that. Gets you goals to shoot for. And that's the toughest part in the breeders or in the thoroughbred industry is when you get a horse, no matter what level he's at, whether it's a claiming race or, you know, an allowance or stake or, you know, what have you, you got to point your horses towards races. And you really don't know, like Real Strike that won the Derby. When that horse hit the ground and they started training him, the trainers didn't know what they had. They thought they had a $30,000 claiming race, and that's what he started out running in. And he wasn't winning them. He went a few here, you know, here and there, but he was running cheap races. And then all of a sudden, you know, they take him up the Turfway. He gets enough points to get into the Derby by scoring one race. And next thing you know, it's history. And that's the way it is in this business. And that very rarely happens. That very rarely happens. And the owners and trainers, you know, they know that, that very rarely happens. But now, you see, you're into a big thing now. When in your end, you know, what do you do? If, let's say he goes to the Belmont and, you know, he wins or, you know, he runs up the track and everything. You know, the owner's got to be thinking when in your end for the Breeders' Cup, because I think he could be that type of a horse. You know, you're looking at him going into something like that. He could go into the Dirt Mile. He could go into the Classic. But, you know, then now you got to bring him along. So the trainer and the owner is going to have to sit down and say, okay, you know, that list that we just read off, you know, where are we going to take him to get a win in your end? Because he's the kind of horse that doesn't have to race all the time. He's the kind of horse that could run 3, 4, 5 times a year and make a lot of money. That's the kind of horse he is. He doesn't do... Well, you know, he doesn't do come back off of running a race real quick. You know, it's 4, 5, 6 weeks for him. And so now that's where it's interesting for him, you know, to do what he's going to be doing. And so, you know, we'll just have to see, you know, what happens with him, you know, on this thing. And so after the Belmont on Saturday gives you another thing to look at. Start following. You know, follow him, see where he's going, what he's going to do. You know, those are the things that, you know, that are exciting about our business, you know, that we have here. And so and that's something to put down on your notepad on the 11th. You know, watch and see what happens to, Rich Strike, you know, in the Belmont. See where he goes from that point on, following and everything. But, you know, all the tracks have really made it kind of easy for everybody here in our business, you know, now to start making money. For example, you know, this is getting a little away from the Breeders' Cup, but, you know, we pretty much said all we could about the Breeders' Cup win, and you're in and gave you the schedule that you can see on IENTV.org. It says, you know, that there's a lot to be said for the thoroughbred industry. For example, Kentucky Downs to offer 17 stakes races, $150,000. Now take into consideration, this is $150,000 for maiden races. That's horses that have never run or never won, and it's $150,000 in purse money going up to for these horses, you know, that are maids, that are 2, 3 year olds and up. Kentucky Downs will offer record purses again, including the 2022 season, including $10.7 million applied to 17 stake races when the track opens racing early in September. New to the schedule is the $400,000 Gunrunner Stakes for three-year-olds at a mile. Now, these races are all on the grass at a mile. Closing day is September 14th. Nominate your horse to it. Additionally, the track announced Kentucky bred horses will compete in the richest maiden races in the world. During the seven-day meet, maiden races will be contested for $150,000, and allowance races will be climbed above that threshold, with the second-level runners competing for $170,000 if they are Kentucky bred. So that's just phenomenal, the amount of money that, you know, you're there. You could have a horse that's never run before, breaks his maiden on his first time out of Kentucky Downs, and, you know, you're looking at $75,000 to the winner. It's not bad to start off a horse racer's career, you know, with it. Starters finishing sixth through last at Kentucky Downs non-stakes will receive $1,000 each in acknowledgement of owner's costs associated with running the horses. So in other words, when you go to Kentucky Downs, no matter what happens, win, lose, or draw, where your horse finishes at, you're going to get at least $1,000 check from Kentucky Downs to help offset the cost of getting your horses there. Fueled by historical racing and gaming purses have skyrocketed at Kentucky Downs over the past decade. Picking up an extra date over the 2021, Kentucky Downs all-grass meet runs September 1st, 3rd, 4th, 8th, 10th, 11th, and 14th. And so, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. It's 5/16 of a mile kidney-shaped course. It's a mile and 5/16, and it's like kidney-shaped. It's a European-style track. And so that's, you know, that looks good. Given the immense popularity of the maiden races with an extra day, we've expanded our opportunities to compete for the most lucrative purses in the world, said Ted Nicholson, Kentucky Downs Vice President for Racing. Winning a maiden race at Kentucky Downs is like hitting a home run to start the ball game. There's nothing better than having runs on the broad right away. In some instances, an owner can be out on the horse very early on. In other words, you know, you could come to Kentucky Downs and you could race there and literally, you know, have the horse paid for, you know, right off the bat, you know, which is going to be interesting, you know, to see how many of these horses get here. And the other thing that I've got in mind is how many horses will be coming over from Europe to race here. I think that's going to put an incentive out there to get a lot of horses from outside this country, you know, to get in here, get them over the grass, you know, prior to, you know, to the Breeders' Cup that's coming up. Because, you know, if you're a win and you're in Europe, and, you know, and most of those races are on the turf there, you know, coming to, you know, to Kentucky Downs would be a natural for it, you know, to see. The meet features a trio of $1 million races with a mile and a half Kentucky turf and the 6-furlong FanDuel turf sprint, part of the Breeders' Cup Challenge Series. The first place finisher and those winning your end races again will get their fee paid the corresponding Breeders' Cup on November 5th at Kingwood. The Winstar Mint Million, September 3rd, will be worth $1 million for the second year. Each of the $1 million stake purses include $150,000 Sternbred Development Fund supplements. The newly graded race Big Ass Fan Duels, Dueling Grounds Derby, will be September 4th, and the $500,000 AGS Kentucky Downs Ladies Marathon, September 11th, have been awarded graded status for 2022. Among 8 graded stakes races at the track this year at Kentucky Downs. And we're going to run through here these real quick, and it's just not a lot of stake races here. not like it was for the Breeders' Cup. You know, date September 1st, we have the $400,000 Tappet Stakes, a mile on the turf. We have September 3rd, the juvenile, and the $500,000 juvenile for two-year-olds, a mile on the turf. We have the September 3rd juvenile, $500,000 juvenile for two-year-olds, a mile on the turf. We have the September 3rd, the $1 million race for three-year-olds and up, a mile on the turf. We have the Dueling Grounds Derby, September 4th, for three-year-olds only, a mile and 5/16 on the turf. That's $750,000 added there. We have the Dueling Grounds Oaks for three-year-old fillies. It's a mile and 5/16 on the turf. That's $500,000. The juvenile sprints going 6.5 furlongs for two-year-olds, $500,000. We have $1 million turf sprint for the three-year-old division, 6 furlongs on the turf, 2 and 3-year-olds. We have the Franklin Simpson stakes race, $600,000. Have 2 races there, 2-year, $600,000 each on 6.5 furlongs on the turf. We have the $1 million Lady Turf on September 10th, a mile on the turf. We have the $1 million Kentucky Downs Turf Cup, a mile and a half on the turf, $600,000 Lady Sprint on the turf. We have the $500,000 and $550,000 Ladies Marathon on the turf. All these are on the turf. $500,000 Untappable, two-year-old fillies. 6.5 for months, a $500,000 Music City, 3-year-old fillies, 6.5 for months. So it just goes to show you, you know, that we've got a lot of things, you know, that are going on in the business here and a lot of incentives for these owners to get back into everything. So we're kind of excited about that, you know, that what we're having here in our business. And, you know, it's not just in Kentucky, you know, it's everywhere. And one of the things that I like about it is that this is carried over into the standard bred racing. The standard bred racing in Oak Grove, it's a new track in Kentucky. They're packing the windows there. It's just unbelievable on what they're doing and how they're doing it. We had a lot of people that left Sunshine Meadows that usually go to the Meadowlands and, you know, up to Scioto and Vernon Downs. And where are they at? They're right now, they're in Kentucky. And they're at Vernon Downs, and they're really enjoying the races. They're winning races. You know, the competition's good. The track's good. It's new. They're working with the horse, and that's what it's all about. And so finally, the racetracks and the industry have realized, and what I've been seeing here for a lot of years now, it's International Equine Network. It's about distribution. That's what it's about. It's about distribution. It's just not about NBC and ABC and NBC and Fox and ESPN anymore. It's about the new age of electronics. Whether you're on an iPhone, you can be on a regular old-fashioned radio out in your barn, and you can get AM and FM programming on horse racing. You can come onto the internet and go to like intv.org. And you can get navigate all the way around to all breeds, all over the world. And that's what it's all about. They finally woke up and said, hey, it's about distribution. And the more we get our product out there, the better off we do. And it's starting to prove out. The more distribution you get, the better for the off-track betting, the better for the online gambling. And that's bringing a lot of people, you know, dollar-wise into the racing. And the other thing is, with all the different distribution of information on the equine industry, a lot more people are coming to the racetracks. They're all coming to the racetracks. They go and take the morning tours into barns and go see the horses work out, and then they go have lunch, you know, in the clubhouse at the track. Or they go to the morning workouts, you know, at the tracks, you know, and then they take the farm tours. They do the same thing with the show horse industry. You can go out and watch the horses, you know, train for show jumping, and you can do all those things. Shoot, you can come out here and see me every morning. You can come out here and see me every morning at Sunshine Meadows Equestrian Village, and you can come out here and see see the horses trained for FAU trained for horses, their horses, and I'll take you around the farm and you can see what they're doing. Then in the wintertime, if you come down, I'll take you over to Palm Beach Downs. Over at Palm Beach Downs, that's where Todd Pletcher keeps 126 of his horses at to train all year long that you see in the Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont. And so, you know, just think about it. You know, what else going on? This is the end of my show. I know you guys have probably clicked me off. See, you can click me off at any time. I don't know when to click me off. You know, that's what I don't do. But nevertheless, we appreciate having any of the listeners out there that we had. Thank you for listening. This is Scott Miller from the International Equine Network. We had a good report this week and look forward to hearing from you next week. Thank you.